Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast, your number one Orlando City podcast for the fans, by the fans, for the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Lions Den, back for another Orlando Lions Den podcast. And we got a special guest here today, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Welcoming Tom Bogert, MLS insider from The Athletic. So, Tom, elephant in the room, how's the ice cream truck that you just bought? Everything going good with that?
When Charlie the Bone set that out, I was like, damn, like, if you gave me a link, I would have bought that. I could have pulled out of the deal late, like Blackburn almost did at the car dealership and said, nothing's been signed, sorry, I'm out. And then I would have looked at the practicality of an ice cream truck and I would have said, hey, is that deal still on the table?
We saw that. Okay, I am going to find a way to fit this into the thumbnail and make it like a mall style glamour shot graphic because it was too perfect.
I loved it.
But yeah, man, interesting past couple days. I feel like Duncan McGuire got bounced around like a beach ball at a Dead concert. What can you tell us, man? What are your thoughts on how everything went and how we got to where we're at? We have other things we're going to talk about with sponsors and stuff. We're going to do that after you're done. But want to go ahead and just jump right into it because we already got a bunch of people here watching. So let us know what your thoughts on the deal, man.
Let me just start first and foremost that it's very easy to forget for professional athletes that these are human beings. More so for like NBA, NFL, like we look at the salaries and it's like, I can't even fathom that money, right? Like at the end of the day, dude, these are human beings. And Duncan McGuire was on his way to England. He was on a connecting flight. And that's when Blackburn called his agent and called Orlando to say ownership told us we had to pull out. Like this, imagine you're, again, a young kid, first professional season, an awesome story. He's making... Again, 87,000 was guaranteed. Like, that's fine for a regular person. Not for a professional soccer player, not for a U.S. national team player, right? Like, and this deal for Blackburn is going to give him a very large pay raise, a well-deserved one, I want to add. But just put yourself in his shoes where they've been pushing for this. Like, he wants the challenge. He wants to move on. Like, he's been doubted his whole, like, lack of career, right? That's why he was 4 years in college. That's why he was at Creighton. Like, that's why he wasn't in MLS or academies and all this stuff. He's beating the odds at every turn. And they have this awesome deal lined up or something that he believes, I'm going to bet on myself and I'm going to make it awesome. I don't care if they're in 18th place. I'm going to score goals and we're going to be better. And then who knows what's going to happen after that, right? And this poor kid for 24 hours, hey, man, we don't know what's going to happen. Sorry, that deal that we agreed to, or the personal terms you agreed, all the messages that you've told your family and everything else, your teammates, the goodbyes you said, I don't know if it's going to happen. Do you want to still go to England and maybe just sit there and see if something happens, right? Like, just put yourself in his shoes of how crazy that must have been. So first and foremost, my overwhelming thought is I am so happy for the human being, for the player, for the person that this deal eventually got through. But my God, what a roller coaster.
I feel like that's the easiest way to describe it is a roller coaster, which we're pretty familiar with down here in Orlando. So
get ready to learn Disney, buddy.
Yeah. I thought he looked so sad in that chair. Someone found a picture of him in that chair, which was purple. That was perfect.
You can't escape Orlando. I don't care if you're at a hotel in Sheffield. You cannot escape Orlando. It was like right. Poetry was great.
Right. And he's just sadly eating like fish and chips, you know, just like
jet lagged.
Waiting for Sheffield or Blackburn to call. When it came to this, so I mean, the story of Duncan McGuire is just, it's crazy because Creighton, he broke out as a senior, right? And then to Orlando City, he wasn't the starter. He knocked down a DP from his starting spot, came in, you know, hot, and helped us to our best regular season ever that we've had. And then now Blackburn's in 12 months. I mean, this 18 months ago, he was like a backup at Creighton. And now he's at the championship. And I have a lot of respect for that league personally. I think he'll fit in quite well.
I do too.
It's not the top. I do think it's a bit of a top-heavy league, like, you know, Leeds or West Brom and those guys and et cetera, Ipswich Town are different than what Blackburn's offering, but still it's a good league. So, what's phenomenal too, is this was the pick from Chris Mueller, right? When Chris Mueller came back, we got the six overall pick from Chicago, which we turned into Duncan McGuire after Chicago paid us for Chris Mueller coming back. So that, I think, just credit to, you know, shout out to the front office for that. But also, I have a question overall about the offer and how it went down. So how did it get to this loan stage? It was originally, what, $2.3 million? Then it was $4 plus $2.5. Now it's 6 months with, what, $700K? And then about $8 million with an option. Now, is this the club saying you backed out, now we're going to set the terms higher or set a higher price? Like, how did it get to this point?
So my understand. So I had reported in December, early January that Blackburn's obviously been tracking for a while. This wasn't just like a panic deadline day kind of thing. This is a long-term target, which again, makes it a better, again, I'm sure that all parties weren't thrilled with each other when Blackburn had to pull out for 24 hours. But because that they've had this long-term appreciation for McGuire, it wasn't just like, oh crap, we need a striker. This guy's available. Let's go get him. So they had a couple loan bids rejected at the beginning of the window because Orlando, rightfully, I believe, a loan with no loan fee makes absolutely no sense. Like, put in Orlando spot, oh, you want us to give you our starting striker, leading goal scorer for free for right now? And what do we get out of this? Okay, cool. Like, no thank you. It was imperative that this deal, if it was going to be a loan, had a significant loan fee. But Orlando, again, they were like, if we're going to do a deal, it has to make sense financially. It has to be, you know, they wanted a permanent deal. And that's where they agreed because Blackburn didn't have the money at the beginning of the window, which is why they offered a permanent deal, a loan deal. They started to figure out they might get the money towards the end of the window when they had a deal getting closer for Adam Wharton to go to Crystal Palace for like $22 million. I don't know the payment structure for that deal, but I guess they figured out, oh crap, we still don't have the money. Like, so never mind, pull out of this permanent deal. Then the Wharton deal goes through and they call Orlando again and say, hey, we can't do that deal that we already told you we pulled out of, but we can make a loan work. Would you be interested in talking? And Orlando was like, just like we said at the beginning of the window, we cannot do this without getting money immediately. It makes no sense. It does not serve us whatsoever if we don't get a loan fee. Because even if, and this was part of why Sheffield Wednesday's offers were rejected, even if they matched Blackburn's money, they weren't matching their proposed payment structure. So even if the fee, and this is getting into MLS roster rules, crazy weeds, even if it's a guaranteed $2.5 million, let's say I just throw out that number, if Sheffield Wednesday was only giving $100,000 on completion of the transfer, Orlando can only right now allocate $100,000 for GAM. They can't allocate whatever the 1.2 max is, even if they're going to get $1.2 million. They cannot turn it into GAM until they get the money. So that's why the $700,000 loan fee is so useful. Now this can go back into the roster. This can help them buy down a U22 initiative player to open a full DP spot. Like they were not going to do this deal without money up front, whether it was a loan fee or the first payment of a permanent transfer. And oh, by the way, for our trouble, because we don't trust you, because you effed us, because you effed the player, purchase options going up. Like we're not. Hey, the four around $4 million US plus add-ons. No. That's almost seven now.
That's what I figured. How do you think that Duncan's going to do in that league? And how likely do you think Blackburn is to pay that fee if they stay up?
So I'm optimistic. I think Duncan's going to do well because I really rate Duncan. I believe that his play style, his qualities will lend well to that league. His physicality, his finishing ability, his work rate, all that stuff. I think that my pessimism is whether or not Blackburn will trigger the purchase option because of how they dicked around through this whole deal to begin with, how they were haggling over before that first deal was agreed before they walked away from it. They were haggling over like $200,000 in bonuses, and they knew that they had $22 million coming in. Why are you haggling over $200,000 in bonuses? And by the way, some of the bonuses in that original deal included not just promotion to the Premier League for a team that's in 18th place, but if you stay in the Premier League and Duncan McGuire plays 50% of the games, right? Like, so these, not only were they haggling over bonuses that weren't that much money, they were wildly unlikely to happen. And if they did happen, if they did stay in the Premier League, you would have that money. No problem, right? Like, so it was really weird. And I'm gonna be honest, I'm dubious that they won't come back in the summer and say, oh, we don't have the money again. Can we talk about another deal? Like, what have they done to show anybody that they will, one, follow through their word, or two, have any money?
Right. The OC Fan TV, they did a good job breaking down some of their financials. And it can't seem super confident in that. I think what's likely is probably a DK situation where he went on loan, crushed it, and someone else bought him. But now I like that they set the higher price. And then that'll allow for a bigger payout.
Yeah, and let's just say, too, because teams have done this, and again, just from being now in this world more and more and getting the inner workings, it's not uncommon for you set the purchase option at $4 million. Like, let's say it was that $4 million fee. What if Blackburn was like, we still don't have the $4 million, but, oh, he played really well, and now West Brom, West Brom, if we trigger the $4 million option, we'll give you him for $6 million. Whereas if we don't, then Orlando's going to ask for $8 million, right? Like crap like that happens. So no, Blackburn, you don't get to get an extra $2 million or like in that scenario. Like they put the fee where like it's a really good spot. Like, again, I couldn't imagine, like, I guess I could imagine a little bit just from being around it, but I couldn't possibly imagine trying to do that deal and having to go back and forth with a club that is in and out and I don't know about this, or all right, deal agreed. Let the player travel. Here's all the documents. Ah, never mind. We were just told we have to get out. Like that's got to be infuriating. And I would be very dubious of them.
I mean, I'm just saying from experience, like, I feel like if I have the in-flight Wi-Fi and I found out that while I'm in the air, there's going to be a very loud expletive screamed on the plane. People are going to turn around and look. Someone was like, I hope that he's in first class and got drinks. I was like, I mean, the salary we paid him, if we had to pay for the flight and they didn't, he's probably not in first class.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
One question with you're talking about the transfer at the end of the 6 month loan. Another thing that we were discussing a lot when this was all going on is it's very likely Duncan's going to play for the U.S. at the Olympics in Paris. Is it now beneficial to Orlando to wait to sell him until after the Olympics?
I understand the thought process there, and like, yeah, it could be. But again, if Blackburn triggered this purchase option, it's a phenomenal deal. Like, what would he have to do in Paris to make that price go up? Like, so I understand it, but then you get in a situation like San Jose did this with Cade Cowell. They kept on thinking a bigger offer was coming and coming and coming. Oh, he's going to go to the U20 World Cup and a bigger offer is going to come. And it never did. Like, they got bailed out by Chivas, honest to God. Like, that ended up being a good deal, but there wasn't the market that they thought there was going to be. You look at a bunch of other teams. Trying to think off the top of my head, I'm struggling a little bit, but like, there's always the you hold on too long, right? Or you know, values just Kai Wagner, and this wasn't Philly like declining offers. It was the player continuing to assume that an offer was coming, and it just never did. And the older you get, the money goes down. And like the pessimistic or cynical view of Maguire, and what I would be saying if I was Blackburn or a team trying to buy him to try to get the price down. Like, hey, man, not for nothing. This is the key. He turns 23 in a week. He's had one professional season, 15 starts or whatever it was. And you, like, how much can we reasonably pay for somebody with that lack of a track record? Again, like, they obviously think very highly of him. I think very highly of him. But that would be my immediate argument if I was trying to drive the price down and acquire him. So if they end up getting, if they trigger that purchase option and it's, you know, a total of $7.7 million, phenomenal deal. Just phenomenal deal.
For something that we spent nothing on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, again, we got the draft pick for trading a player that wasn't even our player anymore because MLS.
Like you guys said, like just taking a step back, like imagine trying to talk to Blackburn about, all right, this is how we got him. A player who was playing for Hibernian, he went back to MLS. We got a draft pick because of that. And oh, by the way, this is what a draft is. This is what Creighton University is. And this is what Nebraska is. And by the way, now he scored a couple goals. Like, you know what I mean? It's just the most quintessential, like, confusing MLS trade. I was laughing. Mike, I forgot if it was you or if it was somebody else who was messing with a couple English people in my mentions. It was like, what are you talking about? The ACC? The AAC? That's better than the championship. And the guy was like, the English guy was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
There was a Blackburn fan that was upset that he had spent 24 hours looking into what a redshirt freshman is. And when the deal fell through, he's upset. I just spent the whole day looking into what a redshirt freshman in is and what college soccer is in the United States. What in the world?
God, that's delightful. That makes me so happy.
It's a beautiful thing. So a good insight on Duncan, and we appreciate all of the info that you got us. But I think now we're going to move on to next deal that looks like it's probably going to be announced soon. But I'm actually going to bring a question from the chat here just because it's kind of relevant to the situation. So David Bracalo looks like he's coming in from Viking. Blackburn looked like they tried to jump in late on that one. So just kind of generally curious with Blackburn's interest and knowing that he'd been a target of ours for a while. Do we think that came out of the blue? Was it something to try and make the deal fall apart? Like we're all relatively confused by where their name came involved and everything that happened around Bracalo.
Yeah, it's a bit confusing to me too. So again, Orlando is a long-term target. What I was told is that Viking were being really difficult throughout the negotiations. The player, I think Orlando's initial bid was around $2 million, and the player, his agent, Orlando, everybody was like, that's going to be accepted. Like, that's fine. And Viking was like, no, we're trying to hold out for more money. And they seem to be trying to generate a market. And I get it. Like, that's the job. You try to get the best possible deal for your club. But I will say that, like, this, I think it had more to do with with Viking more so than Blackburn. It was the most random thing I thought when I heard it. And I was like, wait a minute, didn't they just pull out of the Maguire deal because they didn't have any money? How would they have money to pay Viking? Like, and they didn't. That didn't go very far. The player had his heart set on Orlando. Player and his agent didn't want to go back on their word, right? Like, so I understand the cynical side. I don't have anything to speak to that in terms of knowledge. And I don't think that we would be able to get something conclusive anyway. But my understanding is it was unrelated. And again, really weird, honestly. I didn't really understand it. And that was, a weird 4 to 6 hours of like, what the hell is going on here? And then just talking to sources around that deal too. And it's like, no, like, he's going to Orlando. Like, he doesn't want to go to Blackburn.
We'll take it.
Yeah, they did in Orlando actually. Wasn't Blackburn offering a loan again because they didn't have the money? And
I mean, probably. So that was the thing. The only report I saw, and you guys tell me what I maybe missed. The only report I saw was that they were interested and that at open talks. And again, like, I'm sure it was a loan because that was the whole, like, again, and the Maguire stuff. He wasn't the only deal that they were working on. The board, the sporting director, had to, like, they're during numerous negotiations, hoping to spend the money that they were getting from Wharton, and or at least some of it, to reinvest in the squad. So Maguire was a top target, but they were looking at other positions. They ended up signing a center back from Liverpool on loan on deadline day too. So it wasn't just that this poor sporting director had to go to Orlando and say, tail between his legs, I'm sorry, this isn't how we want to do business, but like, this is what the board told me. I'm sorry, right? Like, so it wasn't just Maguire. So they were looking at other targets and other positions. So again, it's just a completely bizarre situation.
Yeah, really the only way to describe it, I feel like, is bizarre. Alex, I'm going to cut over to you because you look like you're getting ready to say something.
Yeah, it does look like it's going to be a great 30 for 30. Yeah, the exact, there was a
great article in The Athletic at some point, hopefully soon, when I get to the bottom of this.
is that they had swooped in at the last minute and were making a bid, and then the news came out later that they were making a loan. It was immediately rejected. So you're dead on. It's more that the way it happened, the timeline throughout the day, and we've been talking about purchasing him for weeks. It's been in the water supply. Yeah. It started at $2 million. They rejected it. David said he wanted to come here. He was very intent on leaving, and it was broke the same morning as the Duncan news that it was at the finish line, and then out of left field it comes out. So all this to say,
and again, sorry on that, and just to interject real quick, Viking agreed to terms with Orlando, and then the reports came out, and then Viking stopped answering for a little bit, and Orlando was like, dude, we have a deal. I don't have to tell you. I'm sorry, go on.
No worries. It's just so funny how episodic it almost was, but it doesn't sound like it was to hardball us with the Duncan deal. It was more.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah.
It was more just it just so happened to happen that way. And then it all came crashing down when the board came back at Blackburn and said, no, we're not spending money. So all this to say, this to ask, you're saying that this is basically done. It might happen as soon as today. Do you think that he is a good replacement for the likes of Antonio Carlos?
Yeah, I've heard very good things about Ricciardo even before I knew that Orlando were in for him. Orlando, again, knew that obviously Antonio Carlos, what, it's 2 months ago now he left or whatever it is, time's a flat circle. They knew that that was on the cards, so they had been working through center back targets. And Brocalo was high, top of their list. So was Steon Gregerson, the player who signed with Atlanta. And, like, so that's, like, they were looking in this range for a while. Like, they were well prepared and well ready to go. And, again, I'd heard from scouts about Brocalo before, about, like, hey, this is, like, a good player. If I can have, like, this guy would fit really well in MLS. Like, and his representation has several players in MLS. So, like, it was a realistic possibility. So he's kind of been on my radar loosely for a little while. Again, before people from Orlando obviously are saying good things about him because they're signing him. Like, they believe the good things about him, right? Like, so I have heard it from other sources as well that this player's good. He's probably going to be I don't know off the top of my head about Slovenia. I've been heard about hearing things about Euros, international soccer, all this, that, like, the idea is that he's going to be good in this league, plus international stock is going to go up. And again, what they believe he's going to be really good in MLS, but they're also like, hey, if we do our job, if he does his job, there's going to be an offer for him in 18 to 24 months again. Right. And it just depends on what happens here. So that's kind of the profile of what I've heard from people about this player. But all that is to say, I have high hopes for him. I think it's tough for Rodrigo Schlegel. It makes sense. Everybody, you know, competition, you need to have three good center backs. Every team does. I'm sure Rodrigo Schlegel is going to play plenty of games because of all the competitions, because of everything else. But I think Schlegel, he wasn't like a top tier. So I think he was a starting level player last year. And I think it's a little bit unfortunate for him. But again, this is football, this is competition, and it is what it is.
We love to call him the best third striker in MLS, or third not striker, center back.
Yeah. Dude, I think that's a great shout. That's a great shout.
Right. And that's where he should be. I mean, we had a good run with him starting, but then sometimes he goes full Rodrigo, like in the playoffs.
But, dude, he displaced Antonio Carlos. I voted him either Defender of the Year or I had him on my ballot. Like, he was like, yeah. I had him as like one of the best three center backs in 22. Like, right, he was. That's no joke that he took that starting spot from him, right? Like, I was really, really impressed.
I wonder, since Carlos had said he wanted to leave earlier and they didn't let him, I wonder if they were like, he's going to leave anyways. Let's get Rodrigo. He's hot. Let's play the hot hand. Let's let him. Let's just, you know, move forward with him anyways. I don't know if that played a part. But, I mean, there was no reason to drop Rodrigo during that stretch, to be honest.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think it was more about the form rather than Carlos might leave. Like, because, again, like, I understand that thought process in a macro sense. But, like, Oscar Preya, whoever the head coach is for any team, they really don't care, man. What they care about is I need to win this weekend. And if I don't win, I might get fired. So I don't care what your contract situation is. I just need to play the best players here. Like Martin Ojeda, what was he? $3.5 million DP.
Yeah.
Sorry, brother. You're on the bench, Moses. Your rotation. Like Ivan Angulo is gonna play over you. Say, hey, Ershan Kara, you're still scoring some goals. We think Duncan McGuire is better. He's on $87,000. You're a DP. I don't care, brother. Hit the bench.
Right. True. And you know, the crazy thing is that Rodrigo's actually older than Brocalo. So everyone sees Rodrigo as this young guy, but Brocalo, especially for 75, he's 25, Rodrigo's 26. Yeah. He just has that baby face. So I can see a salon from there for sure.
Yeah. So but go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, speaking of center backs, Alan Saldivia, there's been some connection with that. Is there any traction to that? That sounds like, speaking of Rodrigo, a Rodrigo type move where we loaned him from Racing Club and then we bought him. This guy's on the younger side, you know, Rodrigo and Brocalo are older. This guy's probably like the fourth. Cause once we get past our three, we don't really have a fourth. It could be Kyle Smith or Thomas Williams. And with all the competitions, I like to have be too deep. So is this, there's any legs to that at all or no? It sounds like the type of business.
I can't say either way because it's just not a name I've heard, but that doesn't mean that it's not happening. Like I haven't answered. I've been using all of my question and time. Duncan McGuire, Duncan McGuire, Duncan McGuire, okay. Duncan McGuire. So And a little sprinkled in a little bit of Riccala whenever I could, but I've used all my resources on Duncan McGuire. So that's not to say I haven't heard about this report, this rumor, but that doesn't mean that it's not necessarily not true. Yeah.
So it, by the sounds of it, it feels like Duncan McGuire, although you like him and you're rooting for him, may have given you a little bit of PTSD.
I was talking to my editors, and again, so even before, like, the work that would go into trying to publish these things obviously is very high, and just hey guys, think I'm gonna have another McGuire update today, this story's gonna freaking kill me. And then it was just like a couple hours before I got it totally confirmed that Blackburn were back in. Like, it was honestly like, I don't know, I published something in the morning, this about like a deadline day primer type of thing. And like, I don't know, 40 minutes later, I was like, guys, I just heard Blackburn are back in for McGuire. Are you kidding me? And they were like, what are you talking about? So it's just even when I think I have, like, even when I know I have up to the date information, that changes in 30 minutes, man. It's something.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? You know, like at that point, I'm like, this changed at 11 a.m. and I need a beer. So I think next thing to transition to is, before we talk about targets, I just want to do a little bit of a roundup on our current DPs, because there's been some links around them. I know we had a comment in the chat about this, but there was a rumor that popped up like noon yesterday that La Liga team was interested in Facundo Torres. As soon as I saw it, I was like, it's way too late in the day for that to be popping up and there to be any kind of traction that could be possible. La Liga, I think, fits him really well and would be a potential great landing spot for him. But I mean, I personally just couldn't see it happening at that point, especially with a new contract, having a release clause in it, which I don't think we know the exact figure of that. That wasn't told to us, but it's just one of those things. I don't know if you'd heard anything about Facundo Torres.
A joke. It's the same way that those stupid Arsenal reports that came out. And then I would keep on talking to people at the club and it's like, they haven't contacted us. I don't know what to tell you. We can't. Yeah, like you said, he's literally just signed a new contract. It's not happening, right? Like, it's just complete nonsense. And that seems like driven by, I don't know, representation or somebody in his life the media literacy of, hey, La Liga club is interested in, like, that's about as flimsy as it goes. Like, would they hopes and dreams or something in there too? Like, I don't know. When I see that stuff, maybe I did see it and I just didn't clock it because my brain turns off. All right, on to the next thing. There's got to be something else I can look at.
We had too much other stuff going on yesterday to really give it much peace of mind to begin with. It's funny because literally, I think it was not yesterday, but the night before, there was a fake rumor from Brazil that popped up for, I think it was Yuri Alberto from Corinthians, and it was one of those things that it was just a joke that was going around because I guess in a friendly he was unable to score. So they were saying that he was supposed to join Orlando, but he missed his flight because his airline was Gold Airlines. We're just sitting there looking at
whole world, man.
I'm like, this is hilarious. I'm like, he'd be a great player, but that it's one of those things that it was just a hilarious thing to see spewed out there. Because we're like everyone, all of us immediately were like, that's 100% fake.
Tom, on your video, you talked about Luis Muriel at Atlanta. I always have to say that right, because I don't want to say Atlanta.
Yeah, right.
he's out of contract in July anyways. What you said that we weren't very close. Was it kind of us saying, look, this guy's free in a couple months? Like, why are we going to pay you a ton? Or but you kind of hinted.
Personal terms, not transfer fee. That's what they're not close on.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. And so that would suggest, given what he makes now, that it's very likely that they're going to buy down the U22 to get a real or full, the unrestricted DP. That's what they're trying to do.
He's not, if it's Muriel, there, he will not be anywhere close to being able to be bought down.
It'll be, okay, gotcha. And yeah, Mike?
I was going to say, I was able to find some info online yesterday, obviously take it with a grain of salt, but he was making probably like 2.5 million at Atalanta, like higher than that. Cool. So
no, I'm saying that's the figures that I've heard, or he's asking for more than that, which is, again, this is what you do when you're a free agent. You ask for as much as you can try to get. So again, nothing's wrong, but it's just that as far as I've been told, It's nothing is imminent, to say the least, and this is not a foregone conclusion in any way. I'm not even sure if I'd call it 50-50 now, but again, these things change so freaking quickly that I try to hesitate on these things because I don't want it to look like either I said something wrong or I'm trying to give as much boring nuance and context to it as I can. What I can say for a fact is that he's absolutely on their radar. He's absolutely a player that they're interested in. I don't know if they're going to be able to get a deal done or not. He's open to the move, but again, as an Origi with LAFC and the 75 other MLS clubs that he's been offered to, the feedback I was gotten is he's just asking for too much money, right? Like, and that could happen with Muriel. Who knows? Like, he's probably weighing his options, and at this point, he's not necessarily in a rush with his contract expiring in a few months. Like, if they were to get Muriel, like, I'm sure that they would try to get him immediately, but that's not something that they would, I think, worry about until that they knew that they could find common ground on a contract.
Do you think so? Obviously, Orlando's kind of, and most clubs, they always have more than one target. So yeah. is there any kind of movement or anyone coming up for an alternative if Muriel doesn't happen, or are they going to wait till he comes back? Or I mean,
I'm certain that they're working on other targets, like particularly with Maguire. Like, so like I've been kind of hinting at it or saying straight out that even if Maguire stayed, they were going to try to, like, the Muriel deal they were working on, right? Like, that's they want to have competition the same way that Percalo comes in at center back, even though they have two starting center backs, right? Like, the same way that they well and truly believe in Duncan Maguire, but it's like, we need competition, and hey, maybe Porea could play with two forwards sometimes, or maybe Muriel or whoever they end up bringing in can play as a wide forward rather than a center forward, right? Like, just finding ways to strengthen the squad. So that was already the case, but it was less of an urgency with Duncan Maguire. That would have been easier for like Muriel to be like, all right, like, you can just come July 1st and like we'll be fine. Without Maguire, like, they need to get somebody in ASAP, and they feel that. So I don't believe that they would wait around for Muriel, and they absolutely have other targets, and they absolutely are working through it. I don't have any names. That's normal because conversations happen all the time, right? Like, so I guess I hope I'll be able to keep you posted, but we'll see. Maybe an announcement will come, or somebody in South America or Europe will get it out.
Did Orlando being, you know, in the market for a DP9, did that help prompt Duncan wanting to move? Like, Brian, it was a Scarrietta. I'm not sure. He had hinted to that on his thread.
Didn't help for sure. But again, like, Duncan's a big boy. He understands that this is what it's like. I think that it was less this because, again, competition happens. And again, Duncan's mentality is so strong. He knows that that's what you have to do, right? Like, he's going to have competition with Blackburn.
It worked for him against Wiskara.
Exactly.
Competition,
right?
Works, like, both ways, yeah.
And again, like, he's – even if – and, like, again, Blackburn have set out that we believe you're going to be first choice, all this stuff. He's not an idiot. If he doesn't score for 6 to 7 games in a row, he's going to the bench. Like, it doesn't matter if they promised him that you're going to be first choice. If you're not performing, you're going to the bench. Like, that's, I think, less of an issue for him wanting to leave as it was that they weren't close in contract talks. And that I'm extraordinarily pro Duncan Maguire. Like, I think I've made that pretty clear on this. But I understand Orlando's stance of, you're under contract for a few more years. We can give you a little bit of a raise, but if you want what you're asking for, you need to do this again a second year. We need more of a sample size than just the 1 year. And, like, I get it, but, like, I also get Duncan McGuire's position of, I'm hot right now. I'm making $87,000. Like, I need a move, or I need a new contract, right? Like, and so these are all factors that go into it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely agree with that. I felt like that was one of the things that he was going to be in the looks for a new contract regardless, because of
absolutely
what figure he was on. But it's one of those things. He unseated a guy who was making $2 million a year. He was making $87,000 a year. What's the middle ground that you guys can agree to on what you're worth based off of 1 year of production? So it's one of those things that selling high sometimes ends up being in the club's best interest. I do have one question from the chat, and then I'm going to go ahead and cut it over to Alex because I know he's got something to say, but this is relevant at the moment. Someone basically said, where was it? I'm new to StreamYard. We just got here. so we knew that Muriel staying in Atalanta until June, potentially, if that ends up being the case. Do you think that we're going to be trying to get somebody in before that if it's not Muriel, or are we going to rock with Jack Lynn and Ramiro Enrique?
I'm sure that they're going to be trying to get somebody in, but And again, preseason performances, if nobody is ready to go on opening day, preseason performances will dictate this, but just based on Ramiro Henrique played a lot last year and he played as a nine a lot, I would probably give him the inside track. But again, it's going to come down to training and preseason performances because, again, Jacqueline was really, really good in MLS Next Pro. And if he's impressing in preseason, then he's gonna get the nod. But smart money would probably be on Ramiro Henrique just based on the pedigree, based on Oscar Brea giving him plenty of minutes.
Yeah, Alex, go ahead. Oh,
you're muted.
Your sound's
got on mute.
It happens.
We'll do it live.
Screw it.
I don't have really a question so much as if Orlando started the season, my question was involving Jack Lynn, but that kind of got taken by the fan question. But if we started the season tomorrow with this lineup, is Orlando going to be able to run back their season like they did this year, especially with Oscar committed to two more years on this growing project in Orlando? Do we run it back, or are we going to be looking at more of a downturn season based on your outside view of the club?
I'd say that they're in a really strong position because, again, Facundo Torres is another year in the league. I think that he's not quite like apex level guy in MLS. But I don't think he's that far off, right? Like I think very, very highly of Facundo Torres. I think that he can be the dominant player on a team that's very good. Again, Martin Ojeda, Gostirum, second season stuff. I'm still big on him. Just his track record in Argentina was so strong, but we'll see what happens. Nico Ladero, like I think he's going to fit really well. I think that if Oscar Pereira could have a number 10, it's Nico Ladero, Ricardo Pereira, like all this stuff, right? Like that he works his ass off. He's humble and he's got such quality. Like, I don't care that he's 34, turns 35 this year. Like, they're not expecting him to be 29-year-old Nico Ladero either. But I think that he's going to fit in very well. So I think that this team still has a ton of talent and has room in the chamber to make one more big swing at center forward. So things are set up well. I will say the Eastern Conference is very strong, and that's going to be difficult. Obviously, teams in CONCACAF Champions Cup, need to not say league now, it's very difficult to balance both competitions, particularly at the beginning of the season. So that will hit their expected, I guess, points that are coming at the beginning of the season. So even if that they don't equal the point total that they had last year, because that's never guaranteed, they underperformed in the first half of the season, overperformed in the second half. So whether or not they quite hit that number, I think that the quality and underlying view of this team will be very similar, if not better than last year.
And to bounce off of that just a little bit, you mentioned Martin Ojeda and you being big on him. Do you think that he gets a lot more minutes and more starts this season? And how do you see him fitting in?
Yeah, like think of it like the Urshan Kara stuff. Like if he doesn't, he can't have a DP on the bench. Like it's either you really break into the starting lineup and you really break in as a regular player, or I'm sure his representatives would be looking for a move as well because he doesn't want to be on the bench, of course, right? Like I think that he's going to come good. I think very highly of this signing of this player. I also have pretty generous runway for guys coming to a new league, particularly MLS. So I'm still coming into the season optimistic on Martin Ojeda. But yeah, like if it doesn't happen this year, then they have to try again.
You had talked about them wanting to be deep at different positions, right? On striker and center back. It looks like if they were trying to bring in a DP striker with alongside Duncan, then that leaves Ramiro to be third string and then Jack Lynn presumably fourth, right? So yeah, and bringing someone in has got to be an imperative. If you know, essentially, we're left with our third and fourth stringers, right, at this point.
Ramiro can play wide as well. So, like, that's where, like, this helps a lot in the versatility and everything else. But right now, he's first string. So, right.
And with Gaston,
I think that'll be 20 minutes to go around.
Yeah, with Gaston loaned out, I figured Ramiro would play some on the left, too. But any talk about midfield help? I feel like Wilder and Cesar, to me, are one of the best, you know, pairings in midfield. Yep. But behind them, it's just Felipe and
and Dagger Dan.
Is there a possibility to move him inside? And how
well, like that was kind of his natural position. Like, I'm sure that he'll get more minutes at right back, but if they needed to. Like Mikey Holiday, I really liked him at the beginning of last season. Like Mikey Holiday can start right better than Kyle Smith, obviously, right? Like, so they have options. And again, that's so key in MLS, particularly when you're in multiple competitions, is with your 20 senior roster spots, you got to have guys like Dagger Dan who can play multiple different positions and not just like right mid or right winger, right? Like, not just like 8 or 10, like somebody that can play right back and also number 8 is like really valuable.
Okay, good. And one last part. The Orlando City, we have this track record with the college kids. We sell them. That's what I tweeted out. Like, if you're a college striker, dreams come true in Orlando. We've done right by other players, sold them on, let them go, etc. How does that affect Orlando's perception in the transfer market? I feel like it's got to be positive. Is that
for sure? This is all part of it too, right? Like the Daryl DK transfer, that signaled a new shift, and like all teams say the right things, like we want to develop, we want to sell, all this blah 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 blah. Like, you need to have an actual track record of doing it. Think of Dallas. They sold Reggie Cannon for $3 million. A year later, Brian Reynolds was $9 million, right? Like, Brian Reynolds was a better prospect, but you don't sell Brian Reynolds for $9 million if he's the first guy through, because there is no track record. There is no proven product. And like, again, Wes and McKinney coming through there, everybody else, like it's how you build this. So Daryl DK comes through, and that raises Duncan McGuire's, again, first and foremost, it's Duncan McGuire's performance and stuff and pedigree. But everything else, it comes with that. And look at this. I know we're wrapping up. I got a phone call, so I got to take this.
All right. Scoop's coming in live. Thank you so much, Tom. We appreciate you greatly. We're going to go ahead and wrap up here and just look through some of the things in the chat, because that's what we're here to do. So I'm going to go ahead and put us all on the big screen here. One thing that I noticed here, I'm just going to kind of go through some of the chats here and see what we got. So we had FC Cincy Only saying hi. This is definitely something I thought was interesting from Colin. Colin, you use that cursed Facundo Torres poster image as your picture. I hate it. But Blackburn's director of football came from the Norwegian League. Probably had some familiar with Bracalo. Really good insight, honestly. Something that was probably overlooked by a lot of us. Adster, we at least got to your question about the was there anything substantial with Faku? It looks like no. But you did have another question or a comment saying that you liked that the draft pick played against Flamengo.
Krzyzewski,
yeah. I think he had like maybe one or two little mishaps. But honestly, I agree. I thought he looked good. His build, honestly, kind of reminds me a little bit of like a Sasha Kljestan. And I think, Eddie, you had mentioned that in one of our podcast chats, that he kind of felt like a Kljestan. It was either you or it was Swag. But definitely like what we see out of him. Want to see more. Very, very, very interesting, to say the least. I think he could potentially see some minutes, at least in rotation capacity, for sure. I don't know. You guys have anything to add about that?
No, I mean, I don't want, you know, I don't like to blood people or just get play people to play people. I don't really care if people develop personally. I just want to win. So if he earns it, he earns it, but I don't want to force it. But there's times where Angulo is going to get and Cesar are going to be out at the same time for international duty.
Right.
And it's a huge drop off to have him and Felipe to start in a double pivot right there. Mauricio could come down and play 8 last time, play that role. I don't know if I'm sure Nico can, but Willie, right? We drop Nico down. It's not really something he's done, and play Ojeda at the 10. It's just such a steep drop that we don't have someone who theoretically can do that, like Mauricio or even Urso last year, or Dagger Dan playing there. I think the more likely is Dagger Dan to come in into the midfield and play right back. Even though Dagger Dan doesn't necessarily kill it in the midfield, we're just assuming he'd do good there. I think he was a better right back than a midfielder, but it is
that speed.
Yeah, it's possible, and it's probably I'd rather Dagger Dan give it a shot. The Dagger Dan Mikey combination rather than Dagger Dan and the rookie personally. Because it's just one game. It doesn't mean he can't ball out in preseason and prove himself. I don't care. I don't mind people proving if you're old enough, you're good enough, you're old enough. I don't care about that. I just don't want to play someone to develop them at risk of winning. I want to win. If people are good enough, they'll break through no matter how many minutes you give them, in my opinion. That's just how I see all academy youth development in draft pick development. We didn't play Duncan to play Duncan. Duncan earned it.
Exactly. And I ended up putting up John's comment just because John said he agrees with Tom. He thinks we see Dagger in the midfield. John, we know you think you're going to see Dagger in the midfield. Love you, John. I know that you're the biggest Dagger fan in here. I got to show you some of because he's in the current MLS set of cards. I have a bunch of Dagger Dan cards that I've been working on building a rainbow for. So I'll have to show you the collection I got at the moment. And then also a good comment coming in again here from OCSC season. What do we do with Shaq? Seems like a high draft pick, still hasn't integrated with the system. I want to go ahead and just toss something out there in regards to Shaq Mohammed that is often forgotten about. He just turned 20, I'm pretty sure. He is still a very young guy. We drafted him out of college while he was still 18, I think. He had one very, very successful year at Duke. Obviously, learning a new situation, new system, definitely something to consider. He got some time against Flamengo. He honestly, when he runs, dude, his stride is very eerily reminiscent of Kevin Molina when he was in his prime. I think that he's a guy that we will probably see start to factor in. He might still be with OCB a little bit this year. But I really do like what he has to offer. Again, we just haven't seen a lot of him, but his time with OCB, I felt that he was productive last year.
And that goes back to what Eddie was saying about not forcing it. Just if he's young, he's still developing. Yes, he did have a breakout season for Duke, and yeah, he's young, but we don't have to force it because we've got time, and it's not like he's burning a hole in our roster. Right. We can send him down to OCB and he can continue to develop. Who knows? Jack Lynn has kind of been a late bloomer when it comes to the first team, and now he's going to have to step up, and I think he's going to rise to the occasion, and I think Shaq can do the same.
Jack Lynn's older than Duncan McGuire, for example. Just to give you an idea, and he had two leagues in MLX Next Pro. And last year we had a DP who was a backup. So, Shaq's kind of a winger. He's kind of unknown, kind of what position he is too. So they're sorting that out. Last year we couldn't get minutes to Gaston Gonzalez. Ojeda had to come off the bench. We had guys who weren't getting a lot of time. They're not going to give time to Shaq to develop, to see what he is at 19. Especially when we got that pick for trading Juan anyways. So, yes, it was a number two pick because he's got a lot of upside. But, at the same time, those picks don't cost a lot in a different way, salary-wise and capital. Also, too, it'll serve him better to get consistent minutes and then get some call-ups and stuff like that than to occasionally come in and play 5 minutes if we're up blowing out. And let's face it, we're not a team that blows people out. A lot of times when it's late, we want someone to see the game out. That's where Felipe comes in. We don't want to give the kids a chance because it's usually 1-0 or 2-1. It's not like we're up 3-0 and just throw them out there to get a minute. So I think with him, he's still young. He needs to sort of position out. They need to see what's the best fit for him. And it'll be in his interest to get minutes more so. And if he does well and continues the trajectory like he did at the end of OCB last year, what I would like the club to use more is USL loans. You send some people out a level up. MLS Next to MLS is two jumps, two levels up. So if you could go to a USL, work out with a team and send some of our guys to USL, I would actually really like that. I thought Jack Lynn could have used that last year. Or maybe even this year, if we get that third. If we actually get that DP striker, Jack Lynn's still, maybe the third or fourth guy.
So I agree with you there. I got a couple more comments that I want to go ahead and get to real quick just before we go ahead and wrap this up, because I'm going to be honest, guys. I told my coworkers that I was taking a long lunch because I had an appointment. So I'm supposed to be working right now.
Appointment.
Don't tell my company, okay. But
this will be online. This is just between us and a couple of friends.
It's not like it. I broadcasted it everywhere live. But it was one of those things, especially with all the situation, we wanted to talk to Tom. We talked to him probably about like a week and a half ago, and he was like, hey, there's going to be some stuff percolating for you guys right now, so maybe let's not do it yet. Let's wait.
Little
did he know that it was going to give him PTSD. But first, I'm going to bring Derek up just because this was when we mentioned Yuri Alberto. He said Google Translate got me. I got a couple people, man. Just wanted to go ahead and just laugh at that. We got
JJ speaks Portuguese, so that helps.
Yeah, exactly. JJ, who also said, you know, great job, guys, on getting the scoop. Tommy getting scoops on Lion's Den. Definitely wanted to just mention JJ being obviously speaking Portuguese, getting the translation on that. So next one, just because that was a quick little bite, two more things that were all kind of contract related. So Glasshouse Soccer, first off, shout out to you. If I remember correctly, big Chicago Fire guy. You guys are having some kind of off season, man. So right. Good for you on that. But personal too. Terms
too. Working.
Yeah, I was going to say the two of them, next, very interesting off seasons. I'm curious to see how they're going to turn things around.
Next thing you know, Caleb Williams is going to play for the Chicago Fire.
No. they already spent their first draft pick. So, personal terms, obviously, like usually it is just salary, but one of the things that also goes into it is usually structure. So sometimes that's going to be bonuses that'll be in there. Sometimes it's going to be, you know, does your salary escalate over years? Like, are we giving you that contract that's saying, you know, we're giving you giving you $5 million over 3 years, but how is that going to be? Is it going to be 1 million year one? Is it going to be 2 million the next 2 years? Usually when it comes to personal terms is what they're kind of talking about.
And signing bonus and incentives, how achievable they are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Tom was talking about that with Duncan, they were putting a promotion to Premier League. They're in 18th place. So yeah. Oh, you get $1 million. I used to do that in FIFA when you do like, you're the manager. I was like 40 goals. I'll give you $50 million. You know, but like
no one's scoring 40 goals. And then you decide to do a simulation season and then he wins the Ballon d'Or and you're just like, oh, crap.
Yeah. I actually got let go after that, to be honest. I put a release clause too low. I pressed the button. I put a release cost on Aubameyang in like 2021 for like $10 million. And with an incentive of 40 goals, and I got let go. But that's not how it works in real life. These incentives need to be achievable in the first place. And also, people are coming to MLS. The league is still, you're going from Serie A, the league is still viewed as a lower league. So if you're going to go there, you got to pay me more, right? That they're kind of doing it for, it's not Saudi Arabia, but it's, you know, something similar. So, you know, guys like Benteke are making, what, $6 million? And then someone like Muriel is probably going to want 4 or 5 or something like that. So who knows?
There's a Bill Johnson joke in here somewhere.
Orlando's never paid not even 90 that. They haven't paid anyone that since Kakana. I just don't see this club, you know, shelling that out. So who knows?
I agree. It'll be interesting to see what it kind of comes down to. Like if he was making $2.5 million roughly, you know, over there, he's probably, you know, more times than not, these players, when they're coming over to the States, they want more. You know, if I'm going to come to the States, I'm going to come to a league that they view as lesser than, they want the payday to come here. So it's definitely one of those things that they usually are looking for more money. It's the real question is, what does Orlando pay? Caro, we paid $2 million. Nani was usually getting around, like, I think just under $3 million a year is what we were paying Nani. And then the only other one that was bigger is Kaká. We were paying like $8 million a year. Kaká was getting paid.
Yeah, it's almost eight.
Yeah, seven to $8 million. He was just getting whatever paid large sums.
Whatever Michael Bradley got, a little bit more.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know that story, he was going to get paid less than Michael Bradley. He's like, no, I'm not going to get paid less than Michael Bradley. So that he ended up being the highest paid.
Love it. And then just one other question that I saw here, Race the Reaper asking, did we not offer to restructure, but he wanted to move on? So restructuring really wasn't going to be much of an option with Duncan's contract. Obviously, you got to remember the contracts are with the league, and the contract that we got for the contract that we ended up getting for Duncan was a standard rookie contract. So he was making like $75,000 to $85,000 a year, and the contract was 1 year guaranteed, 3 option years. So restructuring usually means you're going to be like, yeah, we're going to move money around to make it better for you. Realistically, the money that he was getting offered every year in that original rookie contract, because it's the standard that the league operates under, is pretty much going to be crap every year. So it was one of those things that we really were going to have to give him a new contract completely overall. And at the same time, they're not a salary capped league in the championship. We are. So if, you know, we were trying to offer Duncan McGuire something in the realm of, you know, $300,000 a year to us off of 1 year of production, giving him a 3.5-4 times pay bump, that's a pretty good raise. I feel like a lot of people would have taken that. But he's looking at Urchin Kara making $2 million a year, and I outscored more than he scored in his, you know, full season with you. I want that money. We can't give him a DP contract. You know, you just can't. So,
and on top of it too, like the Duncan, his finishing rate and all of that stuff, it was near the top of the league, if not the top, for most of the year. Expected goals, he blew that out of the water. It's understandable for them to say there's going to be some kind of return to the mean, because there kind of was the second half of the year. He's still not a 90-minute guy, right? And then so they it's reasonable to say, let's see that a little bit more before we give you like a huge bump. But also, if Orlando was going to get a DP 9, regardless of Duncan being here, why are you going to give Duncan a big fat contract and then give a DP a big fat contract? You know, exactly. I know you want depth, you want depth, but at the same time, they could just leverage the contract he's on and work with that. And they already have a U22 commitment striker below that with Enrique. And then with Jack Lynn, like I said, Jack Lynn, we don't know. He's going up two levels. And if they were that high on Jack Lynn, why are they getting a DP striker trying to keep Duncan, then Enrique, and then Lynn? So, I don't know if he's going to go from fourth to first. That'll be quite the preseason. But that's a redundancy in a salary cap league where you're going to be, say, let's say we gave Duncan $700,000, and then you get a DP where it's the $2-2.5 million range like we paid Cotta. That's a little bit of redundancy in that position, and where maybe they thought, well, let's sell high. Because if they did get that DP and Duncan's not playing that much, what do you think his value is going to be like next year? Is he a sellable asset when he's a backup in Orlando? Or a sub? He's not. So, to me, Duncan uses leverage on his rookie contract saying, I outperformed it. I deserve more money, which he's right to. I'm hot. Let me go right now. And Orlando said, well, look, we're going to just prepare just in case, you know, let's get back up. And then his value is probably as high as it's going to be for now. Because people say, what if we just kept him and he balled out the second half of the year? But now Tom told us they're going to get a DP9 anyways. I mean, assuming they got it. So maybe there wasn't a ball out and sell him in the summer option if they're trying to essentially give him competition to more likely replace him as the starter already. So this is probably the best deal they're going to get, at least for now.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, like I said, I'm kind of hopeful that it ends up being similar to a Daryl DK situation. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that Blackburn doesn't buy him, but like if he goes over there, they got 16 league games remaining. If he bags eight goals in 16 games or something like that, like if Blackburn doesn't buy him, other teams will, you know?
Right, yeah.
So then he's a guy
from Nebraska named McGuire. Sheesh, he's going that's catnip out there in England, man. They're going to love this kid.
Like I said, that corn-fed enthusiasm, and obviously, like similar to what you know, Tom said, is at the end of the day, like he's a person, you know.
Right.
So the situation for him, dude, that had to suck. Like we understand that he wanted to move. He wanted to make the move. We understood that there was probably some difficulties with contract, but I honestly put more of that on us being in a capped league than us not wanting to try and keep him. But seeing, like, for lack of a better term, dude, he got out there and then ended up getting caught between a shit and a fart. I don't have a better way to say it. Like, he got out there, and as he's on the plane, they say, we're not signing you anymore. And then he's just got to sit there and wait to
left Cancun.
Left Cancun. Like, maybe he stopped in Nebraska to pick up his mom or something on the way, like, because we saw her Twitter activity liking and following different teams.
Thanks for following me, Tara.
Shout out to Tara. We do appreciate you. You're always liking our tweets whenever we post about Duncan. It's always been a sweet thing. It's one of those things that, like, at the end of the day, he got pushed around, man. And it was like the one scene from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when Will Smith's dad walks up and he goes hugs Uncle Phil saying, how come he don't want me? I feel like that's just how come the championship don't want me with these teams.
Right. He showed up with the empty room. He showed up and just like, where's this receiving, you know, fan base? Also, too, at Duncan, I really think he's going to do well. His style, his physical, his work rate. But and also he fits into what English people think Americans are, like the Royal Cowboys, you know. So like he's perfect. Like he's what they think we all are, and he's really gonna be that. Wears the garb him and Mason wore for like July 4th and stuff. And
he showed
Light shirt on. It's gonna be great,
dude. No, he showed up for the friendly against Flamengo. He showed up wearing a Sandlot baseball jersey. Like,
was he even born for that movie?
honestly, it's also funny. You realize that he in crazy just talking about the two transfers. His birthday is the 5th, and he's going to be the same age as Daryl DK.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. He's going to be this. Yeah. They're both going to be 23 in 3 days.
In 3 days? Oh, I thought it was March.
Playing in the championship.
Yeah, and they're both going to be in the championship.
Are they going to face each other?
I think that West Brom and Blackburn do have a game still left. And it was funny.
Spider-Man point.
Yeah. Because he's also going to have a game against Sheffield. So we're going to see how that's going to go too, because Sheffield Wednesday obviously was also the other team that was interested in him. And as Tom said, really didn't have the money to take care of things. But I think that does it here. We got to talk about sponsors. So I'll do that real quick. So shout out to Field Turf USA. Field Turf's been with us since the very beginning, putting turf on all the fields throughout the league. They have that one special little strip in Orlando City Stadium as well on the sidelines. So you've always seen that. Also, shout out to Field Turf. Oh,
yeah. And shout out to Field Turf. A lot of talk about the growth of soccer, you know, in this country. A lot of it is they help a lot with that. There's a great like thread about like pitches in urban areas, you know, and a lot of them are field turfs. They've done a lot of good work in that.
Awesome get stuff,
people,
yeah.
Get people to, you know, because it just, yeah, every, of course, grass, yeah, yeah, but sometimes you just got to play and just have a facility to play under a bridge in an urban area and different play on top of buildings. They do all kinds of cool stuff, and a little shout out, I appreciate that, and that's helping the game grow in the United States.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Next shout out, just because Eddie, you started talking. So shout out to Eddie over here with Comparian Insurance. All sorts of insurance rates usually have been on the rise pretty much everywhere. Eddie is your man. He's going to help you find the best rate available, whether it be auto insurance, pet insurance, iPhone insurance, Apple Watch insurance. I think you got just about everything, right, my guy?
Yeah, mostly home. Yeah, companies are leaving. They're raising you up and they're dropping people. That's where I could help you the most. And I have. And thank you to those who sent people. I'd recently, one of the Twitter folks sent me their family member. They had no home insurance at all. And I found them something. So that was, I appreciate that. So you guys actually do listen. I really appreciate that from the fan base. You guys have been great to me.
And then last one is Leo at Epic Mortgage. Obviously looking to buy a home or refinance, Epic Mortgage. Leo, he's going to be your guy. We're going to be working on having like a graphic that pops up. So we've been talking with other people that might be interested in sponsoring the show. So if you end up having, we'll end up having a graphic that pops up like a QR code or something for them. So that way, if you're interested in their services, we'll be able to show that on screen. We just haven't gotten that yet because we're doing it live right now. And we're just vibing. So as we wrap up here, we're going to turn this into an actual pod. We're going to put it up on the pod feed later today. So I'm going to go to Alex first. You got any shout outs, man?
I do. Right behind me, if I can point the right there, my first piece of USL Naples swag. Shout out to, I know it's my second week in a row talking about it, but I'm just so excited. Shout out to USL Naples. They're already engaging with the community. They had a great kickoff party and they're already doing listening sessions to talk about the name of the team. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting journey.
And before I pass it off over to Eddie, I just want to go ahead and put Cleon's comment up here. Obviously, he corrected it to show, but he's listening while he's hard at work.
Wow, I don't lie.
For the OG this guy, listeners.
This guy, Cleon, KFC shut down in Bermuda for a little bit. And Cleon is, bro, he's swimming in it right now, buddy. Killian's got the monopoly of Bermuda over there. Monopolizing Bermuda. Hey, man.
At this point, no. He might actually be okay with you getting the piece of cake for free now.
Oh,
right. Yeah. I was yeah, for real. Yeah, he's put an interest on that charge. I haven't paid yet. You know?
Yeah. All right, Eddie, what's your shout out you got, my man?
Well, I don't know. Just shout out to, I guess, shout out to everyone who has reached out to me for the insurance stuff. That has been great. And, you know, shout out to this fan base. We got an exciting season. We got a lot going on. It's coming close to the end, but they're cooking, and we still got a lot of great players, and I can't wait for the season, man. I got nothing else.
I'm excited, man. I'm with you on that. I'm going to go ahead and do two quick shout outs. First, I'm just going to shout out Tommy Scoops. We always appreciate his time working with us. This is the second time we've had him on. Last year, he said that we won the off season and we finished second in the league. So I think that he felt pretty good about it. He still feels that we're going to be pretty good this year. So, you know, hopefully we keep riding the Tommy Scoops train. And then just shout out to you guys for being here. Obviously we're going down in views right now because we're wrapping up, but early on in the show across the platforms. We had 140 viewers live at one point.
Nice.
So just thank you so much. We appreciate it. Obviously, we all work regular jobs. We do this for fun and because we love the love Orlando City.
During our job.
I was going to say, thankfully, I work from home because otherwise they're going to be like, man, what's going on with Mike? He's taking a long jump. Maybe he's stuck on the toilet or something. I don't know. But but we appreciate you guys. That's going to do it for this one here. We're going to go ahead and end the stream here in a second. Next episode for us is probably going to be season previews. So obviously, barring anything crazy that happens in the transfer market because the window is still open for MLS. Next time you're going to be here from us, we're going to be breaking down our season previews. It's probably going to be about a week and a half out before we do that, because I think some of us are going to the Society 21 friendly against the Revs on the 10th. So I figure we'll probably do it after that and before we kick off the season in Vancouver on the 21st against Cavalry in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So If you guys don't have anything else to add, thank you all so much again. We appreciate you greatly. We'll see you guys next time in the den.
Vamos Orlando.
Vamos Orlando.
Vamos.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the den.